Kings and Chronicles. Let's look at this map. It's not a disco lighting, right? Oh.
It's 3 o'clock.
Hard to hold him, say. Okay, look at this map. This you can kind of remember this timeline. You may not need to you doesn't need to copy it, but kind of remember it. Remember what we said about the kingdom period is about 1000 BC, right? So started from here. And from around this period, the kingdom were divided. In 722, the northern kingdom were destroyed. And this is the northern kingdom, consisted of about 9 and a half tribes actually. So it was symbolized by two places. The northern tribe, the northern area is Dan, they have a golden calf, and south, Bethel also has a golden calf. So there are totally two major idols in the northern kingdom. So there are 10, there are kind of 20 evil kings, major kings of Israel, 0 good, 20 evils. And these are the super evil one. So none are good, this is only worst, or worse or bad, right? They're all bad. So about 20 kings, they always kill each other. They are not even from one person, the line. They always try to overthrow each other's throne and killing each other so that the general kill the king and become king. And then later his general kill him so that his general become king. So it's all about assassination, conspiracy, overthrowing, all kind of... Make a pretty good Hollywood movie nowadays. This kind of killing each other. So that is about the kingdom. This is too small for you. I think we can neglect it. So now we are entering the later period of the kingdom of Judah. Remember, Judah survived 136 years more than the north, because the north was 722, they were done, but the south, they exist until 586. So during the remaining period of the kingdom of Judah, actually Babylon came a few times, totally 3 times. You can write it down yourself. They are totally 3 times the Babylonians come to try to siege the city and invade the land. 三次被掳，以色列人三次被掳。 This means Israel were captive totally 3 times. 以色列人三次被掳。 It's not only one time, 586. 586 is the last time. The 586 one is the last time Babylon came. And this time they decided, we want to destroy everything. The first time they come, they capture the king. Second time they came, because they rebel against Babylon. So Babylon sent army again, and then captured the another king. The name is Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, Gemma, whatever. Always, it's pretty confusing. Just Jehoiachin, whatever, right? So, but the last time Babylonia came, they decided, these kind of people, I'm not going to play with them anymore. There's so much trouble to come every time to deport the king. This time just come to destroy them and burn the city. So in 586, all city burned, holy temple burned, Most of the people were killed. The remaining, the noblemen, some noblemen, some important officials, they were deported or they were captive to Babylon. So there's the final ending of this period. Oh. So that is about the end of the Chronicles, or of the Kings. If you need any of this slide, if you want an e-copy or you want a hard copy, let your team need the notes. I can give it to you. Okay. Chronicles. Just very similar to Kings. But what are the differences? The difference is very easy to remember. The Book of Kings is looking at the perspective of both sides. Sometimes you record about the north, sometimes you go back to the south. So this kind of both sides description. But the Chronicles, it just focus on Judah. Just focus on the southern kingdom. And the reason is very simple, because he wants to focus on God's chosen people. The northern one supposed to be lost long ago. The northern one, they worship idols. They are not even from the Davidic line. The southern, even though sometimes they are bad, but once in a while they have good kings. And more importantly, the southern line is the authentic Davidic line kingship from David Solomon. But the north, they're just from the revoke of the generals. And of course, this line is very important because this line carries the spiritual significance. Because this line will refer in the future to Jesus, to the salvation plan of God. So that's why the Book of Chronicles really focus on the spiritual history of the people of God. And that's why we see the first chronicle, the first seven chapters, you look at the structure, it's very, very special. This is the structure of the first and second chronicle. If you look at the structure, the author spent 9 chapters talking about boring genealogies. You know, genealogy is boring enough if you make it 1 chapter. But you make it 9 chapters, I think most people, when they read it, just fall asleep within 5 minutes, right? Usually when we read it, if we read the book of First Chronicle, we read, oh, it just got, okay, skip. There's no story here. But why the author spent 9 chapters? Because he just want to emphasize one thing, that the southern kingdom is still the line of David. And from his line, come through, emphasize the spiritual meaning about the spiritual kingdom. He spent 1 chapter talks about King Saul, but he spent chapter 11 and 29 talk about David and the temple. So it's pretty big. This is about First Chronicle, right?
This is about First Chronicle.
Make it bigger for you. Oh, okay. So this is the first. This projector, can it be replaced with a better one?
High resolution and be more reliable.
Sorry, technical difficulties. Let's keep you awake, huh? I'm not your.
我只要这个啊. I want a bigger one. This is even smaller.
Okay, so don't mind them. So Second Chronicle talk about something special. The first 9 chapter talk about Solomon the king. From nobody, actually, he is rising up to glory. But from chapter 10 to chapter 36, actually, it's roller coaster, up and down. Sometimes you have good kings, sometimes you have bad kings. So it's more focused on this passage, right? So now I want you to focus on this one, right? Focus on this part. This is the rejection of God plus the revival of Judah as a nation. So this is very important. If you look at the next graph, okay, this is interesting. All these are the names of the kings. You can categorize the Jew, the southern kingdom, the kings, for three classes or three categories. One are super, of course there are some northern kingdom here. Some are very super evil, some are good, but four of them are very good. Four of the kings are very good. And because of these four kings, that the southern kingdom were extended until 586. If not because of four of them, Judah will be finished long ago, just like the northern kingdom. So these four kings, if you read the history, if you read the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you'll find out how they revived the faith of the people. And those stories of revival actually can inspire you. Your personal faith, sometimes you fall to the very low. Right? Sometimes you live far from church, or you hang out with unbeliever too much. The place you live doesn't have a lot of youth growth, so the faith becomes very down. But God can revive you if you have good leaders. If you draw back to God, if you have determination to come back to God, God can revive your faith, spiritually speaking. So these four kings, Josiah, Hezekiah, Joash, and Jehoshaphat, are very good kings. And their story are very inspiring. Very inspiring. How they conduct, how they change the heart of the people, how they cleanse the temple, how they remove the idols, and how they rely on the Lord to fight the battles, and how they discover the temples, that there are some law which is not forgotten, and then how they bring up the RV system so that everybody in the country will start to learn the true God, and how they have revival of faith. But this revival of faith is short-lived, because after the good king dies, immediately they fall back. Right? So this is pretty sad. You know, sometimes you have good leaders, but if they die, and then sometimes it's very contradiction, right? After a very good leader, what happened? You can have a very bad son. A very good father, but sometimes he did not do good to his own son, he can have a very good son. A very, very, very wicked son. Worship idol more than anybody else. But and then, after a while, you get a super good leader. Super good grandchild. So, it's really hard to say. Really hard to say. But anyway, at the end, you see, consecutively, you have four bad guys. That's why it cannot be revived. God said, okay, let's finish them. Let them go into exile. The only way to teach them a lesson is to let them suffer. No more up and down roller coaster anymore. The only way to do it one for all, finish them, let them suffer ultimately, and then when they come back, they will never worship idol again. It's very true, right? After they come exile, after they come back from exile, Israel never worship idol. Even today, Israelites, they don't believe in Jesus, but at least they don't worship idol, right? Today, they don't believe in Jesus, but at least they keep the Sabbath. They learn the lesson, because they think that why we were exiled, why our country destroyed. Because first, two reasons, we don't keep Sabbath. Write down. They understand, they go through exile, first because we don't keep Sabbath, secondly, because we worship idols. They have known by themselves, these are the two reasons. So after they come back from exile, they never worship idol again. And they never fail to keep Sabbath. Even today, the Jews, they're so stubborn. And also so faithful to the word of God. You tell them Sabbath day, don't open a shop. They don't open. But we so-called TJC member, we keep Sabbath. But we still open shop. We still do some business on Saturday. So compared to the Jews, they're even more strict. But they have the faith to do it. Right? They have the faith to do it. And what is the result of the faith? You know, Jewish people, they do business. Whatever they do, very successful. Yeah. They control most of the financial market in the U.S. Do you know? Wall Street mostly controlled by Jewish. In America, most of the money controlled by Jewish people. Even the politics, behind the politics, Jewish people, the lobbying, the control. That's why America is pro-Israel. America will never support Palestinian. You know why? Not because of Obama, he himself doesn't like Palestinian. Right? Actually, he himself could be, personally, I don't know what is his view, right? But at the back, he must, at open, he must support Israel. Why? All the donation to the party come from, most of them come from Jewish. If you say pro-Palestine, no money coming, right? No donation. So this is about politics. Anyway, my screen is off again. So this is related about the history. So what does it tell us? Sometimes God have to tell us the hard way. Sometimes we have to learn from the hard way. If you do not learn from the easy way, God will let you to go through the hard way. Right? If you learn, oh, because of this suffering, you turn back to God and then all of the land, of course God will not let them to go into exile. But you don't learn from the good way, God will give you the hard way. Exile, no other choice. So that is about... Now, so look at this timeline again, recap about what we are talking about, because a lot of history going on here. Once again, United Kingdom, 1040 BC. The time was very short, about 120 years only. But the Divided Kingdom, about 300 some years, north and south. Remember, the Northern Kingdom was destroyed, which year? Seven. Louder, I want to hear louder. Which year? Yes. And the south? 586. So they were in exile, of course, a few times. How many times totally? Oh, sorry, I give you the answer. How many times totally?
Three
times. Okay. So they exiled three times. But according to the promise of God, they will come back. They will come back. So remember, another year is 70. 70, write down your notes. 70 years is what God has decided even before they went into exile. God already prophesied through Jeremiah that they will only spend 70 years as an exile, and after the year was fulfilled, they will come back. So this period is called the return. After they were exiled, they will return. And this period, the return, starting from about 538 BC up to 433. So this 100 years period is called the revived or the return period. So this is a very important period, because in this period they do two things. First, they rebuild the temple. The coming back of Zerubbabel, the coming back of Zechariah, the coming back of the chief priest Joshua. So Zerubbabel. I make up myself. Zerubbabel and Joshua. One is the high priest. One is the political leader. Sorry, I messed myself. Actually, Joshua is the high priest. The province leader is Zerubbabel. Okay. So they two work together, they rebuild the temple. Another important event is rebuild the city wall. That is under Nehemiah. So after the temple was rebuilt, another time they came back, they rebuilt the city wall. So these are the two major events happened during the revived or return period. from about 538 to around 633. About this 100 years, a lot of things happened. We have to remember the 70 years period is what God designated. God promised them, you're not going to be there long, but I'll bring you back. So the following few books, the book of Ezra, the book of Nehemiah, even the book of Esther, were written when they were in exile, and during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, talk about their return back to rebuild. So a lot of story, famous story inside. But of course, once again, how does this period related to my projector? How does this period related to the salvation plan of God, related to the redemption or the end time? These two rebuild actually has a very important prefiguration meaning. Is to prefiguration of rebuilding of the church, of the apostolic church. And of course, this is talking about end time TJC, end time true church. You never learn this in another reference book by outside the denomination. They never talk about that. They have talked about all this already. But spiritually, we know that the temple was destroyed, but the temple was restored, has a meaning. The Solomonic Temple, which year was it destroyed? Which year was it destroyed? Five. Together.
586
BC. By who? Babylonian. So it was destroyed. But it was rebuilt by who? Zerubbabel and Joshua. About 70 years later, right? So rebuilt. We call it the Second Temple. The year it was rebuilt. Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah, Ezra. Chapter 6, verse 15. Ezra 6, verse 15. Next. Chapter 6, verse 15.
Now the temple was finished on the 30th month of Adar, which was in the 6th year of the reign of King Darius.
The 6 years of King Darius is about 516 BC. The temple was stopped. The building of the temple was stopped for about a decade or some, but they restart the project. They restart the project under the encouragement of two prophets. Right? They almost could not finish it, but because of two prophets' encouragement, they restart the project and finish in 516. So in between, how many years? 586 plus minus 516? You don't know how to math? 586 minus 516? How many? Oh. You know it? Say it, okay. Together. How many years?
Seven.
Yes. This is not a kindergarten class, okay? Even kindergarten children respond to the teacher question. Why? Today is almost the 5th day, huh? You still don't respond to my question. Even know it? Say, I don't care, you shout. You don't have to raise your hand. If you know it, you say it, okay? Otherwise, I feel boring when I talk to the air. There's no response. Right? If you know it, say it. Otherwise, say, oh, why? You don't know even math. 586 minus 516. Okay, respond. I want respond. I try my best to teach you, to share with you. I want you to pay attention and respond to the class. Is it okay?
Okay.
Don't just look at your computer. Look at me. Is it okay?
Yeah.
I still have 1 week to face you, so please. if today is the last day, I don't say anything. But up till now, I'm not very happy. I'm very hard trying to teach you. I bring everything, multimedia, class, everything, but you are not responding. I ask you a simple question, nobody answer. I don't know whether you don't know it or don't just care, don't want to say anything. If you don't care, you don't want to answer, it's no good, right? Yeah, I don't want a passive class. If you want a passive class, you just sit down and just read all the notes and then you learn. If you prefer that way, I can do that too, right? Right. I can sit here and read all the notes, say the Bible words, and then you all can keep reading it. If you want this, I can do this. Do you want it?
No.
Oh. Really, I'm not happy. This is your second year. Last year, you were even a little bit better, but not very happy. But this year, you are worse. You ask yourself, I don't know, you're here already. Why? You, when you learn, you cannot put more effort and more... not very happy. Not a very good experience to teach your class, to be honest. The next door, they put more effort and interaction. And your class, you're very passive. And most of you look very tired. I'm tired too. Right? You're tired? I'm even more tired. I fly from Canada coming to teach you guys. I taught already 30 classes next door. Right? And this morning, I preach. This morning, I prepare. I have to preach 4 class. I'm more tired than you. I try to squeeze my energy to teach you. And if you are passive like this, then I will sit down and read the notes. I don't really care whether you learn it or not. Do you want it this way?
No.
Okay. Then please, okay? Seventy years. Solomonic Temple. And the rebuilding really fulfilled what God had promised. So what does it refer to? Spiritually speaking, the Solomonic Temple is the first temple. This refers to the Apostolic Church. It was established during the time of Pentecost. But After the first generation of apostles, they all died. The Holy Spirit left, and the church was destroyed. No more the Church of God. There no more belongs to God. So Holy Spirit left the church for almost 2,000 years, or 1,080 years. But the second temple here, the second temple, actually, spiritually speaking, refer to the end time TJC. The end time true church. 1917. Because the church was rebuilt, first of all, by promise of God. It is not a church movement motivated by human being. It's not anyone just want to start a church and call it TJC. No. It's a promise in the prophetic books from old time already mentioned about the church will be rebuilt. So just like the second temple was built by God's promise, the true church was also established by the promise of God. Let's look at this promise, right? First, let's look at the book of Ezra. Chapter 1, verse 1. Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1. Timing was the first year of Cyrus. And then, at this time, God moved the king of Cyrus, because fulfilled the promise of God to Jeremiah. Where did it happen, Jeremiah? Let's turn to Jeremiah 25:15. Thank you. Jeremiah 25 verse 11. Jeremiah 25 verse 11. Next. When Jeremiah prophesied that, it was about 560, 570 BC, which is before they went into the exile. But already prophesied, they will only be outside for 70 years. And exactly 516, the temple was rebuilt. So similarly speaking, end time true church will be rebuilt. So it was fulfilled 1917. And of course, one of the major prophecy talk about end times true church will be rebuilt can be found in Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2. Next. Underline these two verses. This is a prophecy about end time true church. This is called the mountain of the Lord. Mount Zion will be reestablished before Jesus coming. This Mount Zion, this mountain of the Lord, is the true church. So no matter you are talking about the Solomonic Temple or the rebuilt temple, it is a parallel of Apostolic Church and the end time TJC. So the church, the temple was built because of promise. Secondly, it was built according to same foundation. Same foundation. When they rebuilt the temple, they are not rebuilding in somewhere else. They are rebuilding at the exact same location where the first temple was built. Let's turn to Ezra. Chapter 3, verse 3.
Ezra 3:3. Ezra 3:3. Of the people of those countries, they set out our expectations and they offer bread offerings unto the Lord, both morning and evening bread offerings.
So they started to rebuild the foundation first, but where did they use to the foundation? Original foundation. The first temple was reduced to rubble, but the foundation was still there. Foundation means their whole, the site, right? There was still a lot of rock. Foundation is basically You dig a big hole, and then you put rocks to fill that hole, so that it will not shift. So there's the original foundation are made up of rocks. The foundation, nobody touch it. They burn the temple, but they never remove the foundation. So they don't have to build a new foundation. They just build on the original foundation. That's how they rebuild the temple. So spiritually speaking, what does it mean? It means that the true church, the foundation, and the truth, same as the apostolic time, So we are so lucky that we don't have to search for the truth. Everything that we observe here were observed in the Apostolic Church. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15.
Verse 15. If I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the Apostolic, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth.
Yes, the truth, the church is the what? Here, Paul said the church at the time is the house of God. But it's the foundation of the pillar, foundation and pillar of the truth. So the same truth will reveal to the true church. 1,000, almost 800 years later. Oh, so... let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Next.
Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself became the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord.
So same foundation. What is the foundation? Prophet, the apostle. Circle the words. Underline this verse. Apostle foundation. Whatever 2,000 years ago the apostle preached, today the true church preach. They preach Sabbath. We preach Sabbath. They preach water baptism, we preach water baptism. Same. No change, no need, no add, no subtract. Apostle foundation. And then, also prophets. Of course, prophets means the Old Testament. Whatever the major teaching in the Old Testament, we preach. Ten Commandments, we observe. And of course, most important is, there's only one cornerstone. Who is it? Jesus. The same Jesus they preach, the same Jesus today. Right? The same Holy Spirit there, the same Holy Spirit today. So if we study the book of Nehemiah, Jeremiah, just one thing comes to your mind. No matter it's talk about the temple or the city wall, actually it's about the holy city. It's a one package. It's a prefiguration of end time and the last time before Jesus comes, he'll restore his true church and to save mankind according to his promise and same foundation. So you grab hold these 2 points, then you understand the spiritual significance of the book of Ezra. And of course, when you go back in terms of history, there are a lot of things you can learn too. Let's turn back to Ezra. The book of Ezra, of course, was believed to be written by Ezra. Chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1 recorded the time they returned. It was supposed to be around 538 to 536 BC. So you can write down in chapter 2, verse 1 for your own reference. You can write down about 536 BC. Some scholars say 538, so there may be 1 or 2 years difference, doesn't really matter. Right? So, if you believe that 586, then you can find 536, you return. No? And then they went back, they have conducted a census about chapter 3, they start to rebuild the temple. We have read about that. They start building the temple. Let's turn to chapter 3, verse 8. Next.
They'll say, now in the second month of the second year, they are coming to the house of God at Jerusalem. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the rest of Abadu, and the priests, and the Levites, and all those who had come out of the captivity to Jerusalem, began work and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of the Lord.
Okay. So they set out the journey, and then they arrived there, and the time is about 536, 537, and they start to rebuild the temple. The foundation was laid, and chapter 4 recorded they have faced obstruction. They have faced enemies stop their work. it's okay. I don't need it anymore then. Yes. So they stop it. Let's read chapter 4, verse 24. Chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. So, soon after they laid the foundation, they were stopped. So the year they laid foundation is about 536 BC. Because this is the year they went back, 536. And they have stopped until the second year of Darius, which is about 521. So what's the difference? How long have they stopped? 15 years. Thank you. Thank you very much for your answer. 15 years. 15 years is almost a generation. Right? 15 years, a baby become a young adult. So they stop so long, they almost forgotten the mission. But through two prophets, that God motivate them again. Who are they? Let's read chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. 1 to 2. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. Two prophets. Underline this. It's very important. It's a prophet of revival, rebuilding the temple. Who are they? First one, who is it? Haggai. Second one? Zechariah. So these two books are the minor prophets. The minor prophetic books. So we will study it. So how God, through these two prophets, encouraged them. You shouldn't forget about your mission. You should put God first, otherwise you will not be blessed. Have faith in God, rely on God, so that they, after they hear the message, they restart the project. So this is year 521. So they continue. So they were motivated, they continue to work on it, and until chapter 6, verse 15, they finish. Chapter 6, verse 15. Next. So the 6 years. So totally, about 5 years later, 516, the second temple were completed. So that's the timeline. So 7 years later, they came back, 516. And another 15 years, almost, from 521 to 516, sorry, I confused myself. 516. Okay. 5 years. So after they restart the project, they only use 5 years to finish the temple. Of course, you may think 5 years is a lot of time, right? But compared to the first temple, how long they use? 7 years. Because first temple was more grand, more bigger. And at the time, they don't have machine. So every stone, you have to carry yourself, you have to move it, you have to transport there. It's not easy work. But anyway, they spent only 5 years. Smaller temple, but they work really hard, and they finish. So you can mark it in your Bible, so next time when you read here, the 6 year of the Iris, they finish it, which is about 516 BC. From chapter 6 to chapter 7, is already there was a time gap. Because when you read it, it seems that it's immediately. But actually, chapter 7, verse 1, chapter 7, verse 1, let's read. So chapter 7, verse 1 is called the year of Artaxerxes. So you can write down here, chapter 7, verse 1 is 458 BC. So actually, there was a gap of about 60 years. 60 some years, right? How many years? Gap? It's 42. 58 years, right? There's a gap of 58 years passed since the completion of the second temple, because there's 458 and there's 516. So what does it mean? Another long term has passed. The physical, the hardware of the temple was rebuilt, but the software of the temple was not rebuilt. The software is the faith, the fervency, the truth. For example, the church. What is the church? The church is not this building. Well, this building is very important so that we can get a service here. But the people here is more important. For example, you are more important than this building. Right? If you don't understand the Bible, if you don't pray a lot, if you don't evangelize, if you don't keep a holy life, even we have the building 10 times bigger than here, the church is no use. So, 58 years later, Ezra returned from Persia. At that time, it's no more Babylon, it's Persia. They returned with a lot of people from Persia and teach the people. So from chapter 7, it is about revival of the software. Rebuild the software of the faith. Something cannot be done, just rebuild a building. Rebuild a building is easy, 5 years. But rebuilding the faith take a whole generation. Even more than that. So tomorrow we'll continue to study about how Ezra revived the faith of the Israelites. So we stop here tonight. Any question? Yes. Okay. 谢谢钟远问问题了。
如果第一次盖圣殿的时候，他们用七年嘛，然后说是故意用七年，因为是完全数字。那为什么第二次只有一年？那不是就变成用不完？哦，其实第一次他们不是故意用七年。
The first time is not that. The question was, right? If the first temple was used 7 years, perfect number to do it, right? And the second temple only used 5 years. Doesn't mean the second temple is not complete. Well, first, actually, when they first built the temple, it's not that they dedicatedly or purposely used 7 years. It just happened 7 years. And of course, later we interpret that as a perfect number, right? But the second temple, even though it's only used 5 years, we still regard it as a perfect temple. First, because of these two reasons, right? First is because of promise of God, and because of the same foundation. So why not 7 years? Well, of course, the detail sometimes is difficult to round out, but actually, they use more than 5 years because they started much earlier than that. But of course, whether they add up using 7 years, we don't know, right? But this time didn't use exactly 7 years will not discount the fact that it's the same importance. But actually, this is one statement concerning the second temple for Haggai. Let's turn to Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2 verse 9. Rebecca, can you read for us? Haggai chapter 2 verse 9. The book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 9. So this is a prophecy, this is a statement made by Haggai concerning the second temple. Because when they build the second temple, it looks smaller, actually. Way smaller. I mean, the grand, the scale, way smaller than the first one. So many of the old people who have witnessed the first temple, they're kind of discouraged. They say, wow, you know, we spend so much time and work and make a temple, but it's not compared to the first one. When we were a little boy, we saw the first one, but this one is so small, I mean, so not luxurious. But Haggai tell them, don't worry, this temple more glorious than the first one. Why? Because the first temple was built when Solomon was king, right? Solomon has a lot of money, so building a first temple is not difficult. But now the second temple is, they were poor when they were under oppression, so they can build it better, in God's eye, even better. So even though they didn't use 7 years to build it, but still it's a perfect temple. Yeah. So same is a true church, even though our church is not called the apostolic church. But we are the same church, and the last church, the glory, will be bigger than the first apostolic one. This is the parallel parallel prophecy. Because nowadays the true church preached to more than 50-60 countries already. You go to the map at the back, right? The dormitory of the sister, or besides the classroom, there's a map. Have you seen the map? With the pin on the wall? To show you, nowadays, true church be more than 50-some countries. Right? So, more people believe, more glorious. But of course, our work hasn't been done. We still have to keep moving on. So, the way I show you is connect all the Old Testament theology to salvation, to the true church. So you can see how lucky you are today in the true church. Is it clear? Thank you very much, Sister Rebecca, for your question. At least you are the first one to ask question. Almost. I like questions, and I like people respond, answer my question. So I may get a little bit emotional today. Maybe because I was tired too, right? But hopefully, we will just learn together. We have one more week together. I really hope that the remaining 1 week will be a pleasant journey for all of us. Let's pray.